Excellent. So, as was shared, we enter into the last reading in the book of Exodus in the Torah reading cycle, and it's an amazing passage. It's really the culmination of the entire book of Exodus, because, boy, our ancestors, they know how to mess it up and get forgiveness and mess it up again. And that's really the story of the book of Exodus. They're released from slavery. They come out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And then they enter into the wilderness and they just want to go back. And then they go forward and then they get hungry and they want to go back. And they get thirsty and they want to go back. And then they move forward. And finally, they're at the mountain and they receive the commandments from God in this amazing, miraculous moment where God came down on the mountain and spoke audibly, and all the people, the entire nation and everyone that was with them audibly heard the voice of the Lord out of fire and smoke. And then Moses goes up in the mountain to get the rest of the commandments, and he's up there a little too long, and then the children of Israel start to get nervous, they start to get antsy. Where is this guy Moses, this fellow Moses, and then they just, you know, they take matters into their own hands, and they ask Aaron to build them a calf, and they build a calf, and then Moses comes down right after that, and he throws the tablets, and God's going to kill him. He says, you know what, I'm going to start afresh. It's going to be the children of Moses, no longer all the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's just going to be the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Moses, and then all your descendants. And Moses says, no way, I'm not interested in that. If you're going to wipe them out, then take me out too. In that spirit, heart of Yeshua, who is willing to give his life for others, Moses steps up in that way, and God forgives them, and he says, I will be there. I will be their front guard. I will be their rear guard. I will go with them, and I will make my presence known. And all of a sudden, they start this amazing building project to build this tabernacle, this Mishkan. Mishkan is the Hebrew for the tabernacle. And they start this amazing building project, and this man Bezalel comes in, and he's endowed with the Spirit of God for craftsmanship. That's not listed in Corinthians as one of the spiritual gifts, but he had it. And he's the project manager of the building project, and they build it, and they finally get done with building it, and it had to be according to the pattern. It couldn't just be like what they wanted. It couldn't just be, you know, they didn't go look through a book of blueprints for homes. They had to make it exactly according to the pattern, which means this tabernacle, this structure that was going to be in the wilderness, actually represented something greater. It actually represented something higher, something greater, something more eternal, something that was heavenly, that was shown to Moses on the mountain by God. And they build it according to the specs. And Moses is telling him it's got to be this color, and it's got to be this place, and it's got to be this proportion, and it's got to be, you know, the curtain's got to be just like this, and the candelabra's got to be just like this. And everything finally was right. And Moses is inspecting it. Everything is looking okay. And everything is finally okay. It looks right according to the specs. They bring in the building inspector, Moses. Everything looks okay. They get the permits from the town. Everything's okay. And once everything was finally done, whoosh, the glory comes down on this structure. God says, okay, I'm going to make my presence known right there. I'm going to make my dwelling in this place. And it was this miraculous moment. If you think about all the ups and downs that the children of Israel went through, they're sinning. They're coming back, they're repenting, they're falling away, they're stepping forward, they're falling back, they're stepping forward. All of that drama culminates in God making his presence even still among the people. And it was this amazing moment, and the presence of the Lord was so thick, so palpable, so real in the tabernacle that Moses, the one that went on the mountain, the scary mountain, when everybody's knees were trembling, he went up on the mountain through the smoke to spend time with God. Even Moses couldn't even enter the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord was so real and so thick. He couldn't even enter. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And as beautiful as it is, we have to remember that it was a pattern of something else. It was the pattern of something greater. It was the pattern of something more perfect. Because that tabernacle, as amazing as that moment was, and as amazing as this simple little structure was where God was going to make his dwelling place known, it was just the pattern. It was just the recreation of something greater. And we learn that in the New Testament. We learn it in the book of Hebrews, that as great as the tabernacle was, as awesome as it is, Yeshua entered into the greater and more perfect tabernacle. So as great as the tabernacle was, there's always something greater. Yeshua is greater. As great as the tabernacle was, in all that radiance, in all of that power, Yeshua is greater. We see the same thing in the temple. Years later, generations later, all of a sudden David was walking, you know, in Jerusalem, and he, you know, the way I like to, I see it in my weird brain is that he's walking around and he's looking up to his right at his big, opulent palace. And he looks down at the tent that God was living in. He looked up at his palace and he looked down at the, at his, at where God was, the tent that God was living in. And he, you know, he's saying something is amiss, something is wrong, something is not correct. I'm living in this amazing palace with cedar beams and everything is just so perfect and amazing. And God lives in a tent and he had this vision of building him something greater, building him a temple, building him a temple. And then the prophet went to him and said, your vision is right, but you're not going to be the one to do it. You have a lot of blood in your hands, so you're not going to do it. So I'm going to raise up a son after you, which, by the way, is a messianic prophecy. Your son will build my house. Amen. Come on, Yeshua. Your son will build my house. It was in the natural, in the plain sense, of course it was about Solomon, but it was a prophecy about Yeshua. Amen. Your son will build my house. It even says, I will be a father to him. And God's saying, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Hello, prophecy of the Son of God. Being also the son of David. Do you see it? So Solomon had the task, and he was now the project manager, and he's bringing in all the cedars of Lebanon and all these things to build this amazing house. And it was the same thing happened. The glory fell, and even the priest couldn't come in. It was this amazing moment with all these sacrifices happening when it was inaugurated, when the ark finally went into this new temple, this structure. But even that temple was a foreshadow of something greater. We see even Yeshua, when he was in Jerusalem, walking in Jerusalem, he said, I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. Amen. So we see that even though the tabernacle itself was great, Yeshua is greater. And even though the temple in all its splendor is great, Yeshua is greater. Amen. The paradigm continues. There was a high priest that went into the temple, into the tabernacle, and performed its service. The high priest was a very anointed man of God, but the high priest was human. The high priest was flawed. The high priest had needed to have sacrifices done on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, for his own sins. So as amazing as the high priest was, there is still a high priest that is greater. It says the former priests were prevented by death from continuing. Yeshua holds his priesthood permanently. Come on, somebody. Yeshua is the greater high priest. As great as the high priest was, Yeshua is greater. It continues on. The sacrificial system was amazing. You know, people brought their whether it was their animals or their grain offering or whatever it was, or a bird, whatever they could afford, they would bring in their offering to commune with God, to enact their atonement, to fellowship with God as a thanksgiving offering. And it was a system that worked, but it was flawed in that it had to be done over and over and over again, year after year after year, because at the end of the day, even though Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, took care of people's sins, it didn't take long before the people sinned again. So it had to be done again. And it had to be done again. And it had to be done again. So just because the sacrificial system was great, there is still something greater. There's still something greater, for by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. As great as the sacrificial system was, Yeshua is greater. And of course, this all pertains to the covenants. God made many covenants with man. He made the covenant with Noah that he's not going to destroy humanity with a flood. He made the covenant with Abraham that his descendants will be like the sand of the sea. He made the covenant with Moses and the people, saying, if you keep my word, if you keep my ways, I'm going to bless you. If you don't keep my ways, you're going to be cursed. That was the covenant. But it says in Jeremiah that a new covenant was coming. A new covenant was coming. A new covenant was coming. It won't be like the covenant, the previous covenant, where it says that, which they broke, a covenant that I made with your fathers, which they broke. Behold, this is the covenant I will make with them. I will put my law, my Torah, my word into their hearts, and I will remember their sins no more. As great as the covenant is, Yeshua has become the guarantee of a better covenant. As great as the covenant is that we see, Yeshua is greater. And it continues on, even Moses. Now, Jewish people might have a hard time with this because Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher, is the greatest man alive, the most humble man on earth. And he wrote that. It's true. And he's a great teacher. And he's so revered in Judaism, and he's so revered here, and he's so revered all around the world by Christians, this amazing man of God. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher. But you know what? Even in Judaism, they know it. There's one that's going to be greater than Moses, and that's Mashiach. That's the Messiah. So as great as Moses is, it says he, Yeshua, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. More glory than Moses. There's this moment in the Gospels when Yeshua took Peter and James and John up onto a mountain, and all of a sudden a cloud came, and Yeshua was, as it says, transfigured. And its glory shone around him, and the disciples, they were undone. They didn't know what to do. So Peter, like in a moment of saying, I want to do something, because that's what happens. You know, when God does something, we have to react with something. We can't just sit there like morons. We got to do something, right? Like, so he's like, let's build tabernacles. I'm going to build one tabernacle, you know, for Moses, one tabernacle for Yeshua, and one tabernacle for Elijah. Because in this moment, a vision of Moses and Elijah came with Yeshua. In this moment of transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appears. And Moses is the one that represents Torah, law, and Elijah is the one that represents prophets. And all of a sudden, the cloud is covering. They couldn't see. And once the cloud dissipates, who was there? Yeshua, only Yeshua. As great as Moses is, as great as his glory is, there's one that is greater. Yeshua is greater. Greater than Moses. And we can go anywhere, any person in the Bible. There's amazing characters in the Bible that we look up to, that's a good example for us or not so good example for us. You know, there's a Jewish tradition is every single person in the Bible, from Pharaoh to Moses to the good kings to the bad kings, they're all examples for us. Some are examples of what not to do, and some are examples of what to do. But all of the amazing characters in the Bible, all the amazing personalities and heroes of our faith that we see in the Bible, even the ones written in Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, all of them are less than Yeshua. Yeshua is greater than all of them. Yeshua said something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Solomon is here. As amazing, as great as all of these characters in the scripture in the Old Testament are, Yeshua is greater. And anything in the world, anything in the world. You know, Yeshua went to Peter and he said, getting back to the people in the Bible, he said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And who do the people say that I am? Who do they say that I am? And they had different answers. Well, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're the prophet. But who do you say I am? Atah, who? HaMashiach. Ben Elohim Chaim. You are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Greater than all of those. And anything in the world, Yeshua is greater. You know, the world promises a lot of things. There are people that promise a lot of things. You know, you may love certain politicians. You may love certain people that have opinions. You know, you may be a Tucker Carlson fan or a Rachel Maddow fan or whoever you are, you know, the world offers a thing. But it says in John that they are of the world, so they speak of the world. They speak from the world. They speak from the world because they are of the world. How do you know if they are true believers or they have an antichrist spirit in them? It says in John, if they acknowledge that Yeshua came. If they acknowledge that Yeshua came, then they're from God. If not, there's an antichrist spirit out there. So we got to test the spirits. There are many spirits out there in the world. The world promises a lot of truth. The world promises a lot of deliverance. The world promises states and nations and everybody, you know, deliverance and salvation almost. You know, there are politicians that say, you know, you vote for me, you're going to get this, you're going to get this, you're going to get this, you're going to be all right. But they speak from the vantage point, from the point of the world, from the perspective of the world. But of Yeshua, it says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So whatever the world offers you, whatever you see, whatever the world offers you, whatever people are saying, that deny Yeshua but say things that sound like truth. That say things that sound like truth, but they deny Yeshua, but they say things that sound like truth. All of these pale in comparison to the truth of the one. The world, things of the world may seem great. They may seem great. They may talk a good game. They may be very convincing. As great as it may seem to things of the world, Yeshua is greater. Greater is he who is in you. Greater is he who is in you. And what an amazing thing that this greater one is in you. Is in you. Greater is he that is in you. And anything the world has to offer, even religion and religious expression. You know, I love our religious expression. I love our Torah service. I love the Jewish liturgy. I love the Hebrew. I love the Shema, all the way to the Mr. Spock blessing at the end. I love all of it, and I'm sure that whatever the religious tradition is that you grew up with, whatever, even if it's Catholicism or something in the Christian tradition, I'm sure you have it means something to you. It's meaningful. These things become very, very meaningful. They're deeply embedded into our soul. But you know what Paul said about these things? He said he considers it a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Messiah Yeshua our Lord. All of it. I love it. I love what we do. I love what we do here. I really do. All of it is nothing compared to Yeshua. Compared to him, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to the surpassing worth of knowing him, of knowing Messiah Yeshua. There are religious expressions are great. Yeshua is greater.
Yeshua is greater.
And even the position that we have, you know, we might have a job, you may be a manager, you may work for somebody, you may be the boss, whatever it is, you know, everybody seems to have a certain position in life. You could be a bus driver or the one that owns the bus company. You could be an exterminator or the wife of an exterminator or the husband of an exterminator. Or you could work for an extermination company. Whatever it is that you do, you could work for Trader Joe's and wherever you are in that thing. You know, the Lord, the world wants to puts this little pecking order in place, you know, where you have this hierarchical thing where you work for somebody, you have your certain place in the world. But there's something greater. There's something greater than the world. There's something greater than your job. There's something greater than all of these things. You are not just people that are just meandering about in the world. You are sons and daughters of the kingdom. You are sons and daughters of a kingdom. And it says of the status, of the hierarchy and the status, it says that Yeshua himself said there's no one on this side of the kingdom, right? Greater than John the Baptist. Like he was up there. He was the big boss on this side of the kingdom. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. This is the status that God gives you. He gives you great status because you are in a great kingdom. So as great as the place that you live and the job that you have and all the status and the stature and the position that you have in life, it may be great, but Yeshua is greater. Are you seeing a pattern here? Always remember this, sons and daughters. And love is something that we're all seeking. We're all seeking love. We're all seeking acceptance. And it's great. It's great. I wouldn't give my love from Susie for nothing. But the world offers love. The world offers love. Life offers love. You know, we seek it. We seek it. And we tend to seek it in all the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places. We tend to do that. But you know what? There's a love that is perfect. There's a love that is absolutely unconditional. And that's the love of God. The love of God. The love of God is perfect. The love of God sees you as radiant. It says one place, husbands, love your wives as Messiah loves his church, his community, who laid his life down. Yeshua himself defined greater love. Greater love. See, love is great. Love is great. Back in the 60s, there was a lot of people looking for love. Love is great. But Yeshua, exactly. Wah, 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 wah. Thank you, Peter. And that's the love, that's a good example of the love that the world wanted to provide, especially in that time of that decade, right? There was a love that they were seeking, but it wasn't the love of our Father. And it wasn't the love of Yeshua. So Yeshua puts a definition of the, and that love is great, but he put a definition for the greater love. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. And this scripture is a bit of a setup because two verses later he says, I don't call you slaves, I call you friends. So he lays down his life for you. Husbands, love your wives as Messiah loves his community, the church, who lays his life down for them. Who lays his life down for them. So the love that we can find anywhere in this world could be great, could be not so great. Yeshua is greater. And the forgiveness that we all seek to have amend of our broken heart for the things that we've done. And we may receive it from people that we've offended, we may receive it from the people that we've hurt, but there's a greater forgiveness out there. It says in Acts, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament. It says, through him, through Yeshua, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Isn't that amazing? There are things even in the law of Moses where there was just no forgiveness. If you did it, you're wiped out. Even those things, there's forgiveness in Yeshua. So you may go to somebody, you may go to a friend asking for forgiveness, and it's beautiful and it's glorious, and they may be presenting the forgiveness of God through them. But there's forgiveness we can get in the world, and there's the forgiveness that we have through the death of the Son of God. Forgiveness is great. Yeshua is greater. And God's plans are great. No eye has seen, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We can think of these amazing plans. We can have plans for our lives. We can put together a little bit of a journey plan for ourselves. There's one great, the greatest plan is what God has for us. And for those plans, nobody has seen it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. No mind is conceived what he has prepared. We can plan out our vacations. We can plan out our lives. We can plan out where we're going to eat next week. We can plan out what car is going to be next. We can plan out everything. Those plans are great. I'm a planner. Plans are great. Yeshua is greater. And of course, it all ends with the future glory. I consider that our present sufferings does not compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. We may have a good inheritance from our parents. We may have a good inheritance from somebody else who remembered us in their will. As great as that is, Yeshua is greater. The promise we have of being with him for all eternity is greater, is greater. Everything is greater with Yeshua. Everything is greater with Yeshua. Grace is greater. Hope is greater. Joy is greater. Mercy is greater. Yeshua is greater. Comfort is greater. Purpose is greater. Blessing is greater. Intimacy is greater. Yeshua is greater. Revival is greater. Healing is greater. Freedom is greater. Peace is greater. Yeshua is greater. Power is greater. Anointing is greater. Victory is greater. Life is greater. Yeshua is greater. Say it with me, sons and daughters. Yeshua is greater. Amen.